Let's just go straight into the word this evening. Thank you, Father, for your spirit you've given unto us by the work of redemption. Thank you, Father, for that great spirit, that great Holy Spirit that has been designated to the believer. We decree that as we go into the word this evening, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of liberality which you've bestowed upon us. Our eyes is enlightened to behold the riches of your glory and grace which you've given to us by the giving of your spirit. We pray, we do pray and receive accuracy and precision that as the word of God is taught this evening, there is no confusion. At the end of this meeting, as believers, we are edified and only Christ alone is glorified. Yeah, so we've been dealing with something very important in the last few weeks. From the beginning of this year, the new man in Christ. Yeah, and we've looked at a couple of things. We've looked at a broad overview of who that new man is in Christ, and things. And so we're looking progressively at the things that are distinct to that new man in Christ. You know, we looked at the reality of God's word, the integrity of God's word. We've also looked at the reality of what? Redemption. Yeah, our redemption. And we looked at how a man that is redeemed of Christ is a man that has been given eternal redemption. Is that true? So a man that is redeemed, he has been saved. Yeah, there's been a price that has been paid for remissions of sins, and we've been redeemed into God's kingdom. We're not part of God's household. Yeah. We also looked at some scriptures that makes it look like salvation can be lost for a believer. You know, we looked at that also. We looked at how once a believer is saved, he's saved forever because it's God's responsibility to keep your salvation. You know, and we've looked at a couple of things like that. We also looked at how true God's word is to us, how God's word is about the promise that was made from the beginning of time, yeah, and was fulfilled in Christ. Yeah, we realize that the word of faith which we hear and believe that makes us saved is the same word of faith that we listen to grow. Yes, 1 Peter 2 will say, desire the sincere milk of God's word, that you might grow hereby. We looked at some scriptures here and there, stuff. And I remember 2 weeks ago, we started a series on the wrath of God. Remember teaching? We started teaching on the wrath of God and what exactly is the wrath of God. And we didn't go extensive into them, but we just did a paraphrase just for the purpose of this series. You know, we looked at reality of God's word on Sunday. You know, we ended with Titus 1, verse 1 to 3. And, you know, I'd mentioned before that there are three major things a believer should do with the word of God, which is to hear the word, to read the word, and to believe the word. So we hear the word, we come to church to hear the word, we in our personal devotions, while in church, while hearing the word, we read the word, then we believe what the word says about us. So if the word says that we are sanctified, we are sanctified. If the word says we are holy, we are holy. If the word says we are justified, we have righteousness, we are righteous, we have all of that forever, as long as the word of truth or word of God exists forever. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, this is Paul writing to his spiritual son Timothy, and he's telling him to study. Yeah, that word there, study, means to have an attitude of eagerness, right? Have an attitude of researchful reading. Yeah, investigate. He says, study to show thyself approved. Study to show that God has approved you. Not study so that God will approve you. It says a workman that needed not to be ashamed. The word their workman is what? A laborer, a toiler, a trainer. Who needed not to be ashamed? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So rightly dividing is one word here in the Greek manuscript. Word that means when you are carefully bringing out something or when you are carefully handling something. To rightly divide means to carefully handle. To carefully handle. Yeah, so it's a word usually used by miners that bring out diamonds or precious jewels from the midst of rocks and stuff like that. You know, so Paul is saying that you should have a Bible student should have that attitude when reading scriptures. Yeah, a Bible student should have that attitude when reading scriptures. So we must be deliberate and diligent in study. That is where we can answer questions. Paul is telling Timothy, and that extends to us, yeah, as believers, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, word of truth there. The word there, truth, is reality. It's a very, 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 very sensitive thing to do, a sensitive attitude to have, which is what? Studying. Labor, 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 labor. Paul has admonished Timothy. He says something very profound in verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14. Go to the next chapter. He now says, "But continue thou in the things thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Yeah, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Yeah, that means he's saying that you should continue in something. What are you continuing in? Is what? The things you've learned. Knowing who you've learned them from. Who did Timothy learn from? Paul. Yeah, Timothy learned from Paul. So Paul was Timothy's teacher. And he's saying that I'm talking to you as my spiritual son. Those things you've learned from me, you are sure of me. I am your father. Continue in those things. Yeah, remember he has told him, shun profane verb, babblings, flee from youthful lust. He has spoken about persecution and how you should handle persecution, stuff like that, you know. And he's saying that continue in those things. He now goes to the next verse, verse 15. And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you what? Wise unto what? Salvation. You know, the word there wise means what? Skillful. Skillful, the word there unto is what? Concerning or pertaining. So it has made you wise concerning salvation. Made you wise, skillful concerning salvation. That means there's a wisdom of scriptures. Yeah, there's a wisdom of scriptures. So when you read scriptures, there's a wisdom you take from scriptures. There's a wisdom we take from scriptures. When we read scriptures, we don't see 52 ways to make it in life or 52 successful motivations, you know. But you know, we used to know how to call them off, the 100 keys to access the door of God's blessing. It's just one of those things, yeah. So we see that there is a wisdom of scriptures. Now, what is scriptures? Genesis to what? Now, ideally, scriptures to our time should be what? Genesis to Revelations. Yeah? But at the time when Paul was writing to Timothy, there was no Timothy. So he was talking about what they had, and what did they have? Genesis to what? Malachi. That means Genesis to Malachi points to what? Salvation. That means when you read Genesis, what you're thinking about is what? Salvation. When you read Exodus, what you're thinking about is what? Salvation. When you read Prophet Isaiah, what you're thinking about is what? Salvation. When you're thinking about salvation, who are you thinking about? Christ and his offering. Yeah? So when you read Genesis, you're pointing to salvation. So when you see Adam, you're seeing Eve, what are you thinking of? Salvation. When you see let there be light and there was light, what are you thinking about? Salvation. When you think God made man in his own image, what are you thinking about? Salvation, right? Because scriptures are to make you wise unto salvation. So Paul, Moses wrote in diverse ways, or the prophet, Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, remember we made a correction to Hebrews 1:1, the prophet at sundry times spoke in diverse manners to the fathers. God has in these last days spoken to us in his son. God does not speak in diverse ways. God has one way of speaking, one logic, one thought system. Yeah, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. Yeah, that word there is the logic, the logos of God, which is the thought pattern of God, the systematic operation of God that has been consistent from time. So God had a way of speaking, which was what? Found in Christ. It was revealed to mankind in Christ. It was revealed to mankind by Christ's offering. Glory to God. You know, so that means a student of the Bible should not just be a careless reader of the Bible. You know, we're trying to finish our Bible this year and reading now. So there are some books that would be very difficult for us to read in the Old Testament. For instance, when you're trying to read 1 Kings, 2 Kings, you know now, when you're trying to read Job. Yeah? You know, the entire book of Job can be summarized in five verses. The entire book, 42 chapters. Yeah? So if Job is your favorite book, yeah, you might end up not finding the nature of God. Yeah, so you see Job say, "God kill it, God take it," you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. But he repented in the last. So you can summarize Job 42 or Job the 42 chapters in 5 verses. Just read Job 42 verse 2-6. You will see what he says there. You know, and stuff like so. When you read Ezekiel, when you read Prophet Ezekiel, yeah, dry bones shall rise again. What are you thinking about? Salvation, yeah, dry bones shall rise again. What are you thinking about? Salvation. What's salvation there? You that were once dead in things, yeah, you didn't have life. That's the bone shall rise again. You now have life. So when you're thinking about Isaiah, that shall eat the good of the land, yeah, if you are willing and obedient. What are you thinking about? Believing the gospel and getting saved, yeah. So that is just a summary of what we've done throughout this month. You know, and this today we're going to emphasize on the wrath of God. That thing you call the wrath of God. That thing you call the wrath of God, we started it already, I think, 2-3 weeks ago. Does God have a wrath? If God has a wrath and we say we are like him, are we not permitted to have a wrath? If God has a wrath, are we not permitted to have a wrath? Yeah. If God has anger, are we not permitted to be angry? Yeah. Why should God have the ability to be angry and tell us that we are like him? and now tell us that don't be angry, but me, I can be angry. So we're going to look at that properly. We started looking at that. We looked at the story of Luke 9:52. When the disciples wanted to call down fire. You remember that story? Luke 9:52. They wanted to call down fire on people. Yeah. I think we're going to start from there. Let's just look at Luke 9:52. Luke 9:52. Luke chapter 9 verse 52. Where you see the Jesus was rejected in a city, and the apostles, the brothers or the disciples at the time, wanted to call down fire. Look at Luke 9 verse 51, and it says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up steadfastly, and he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and set messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. That means when Jesus is coming for evangelism, he sent some disciples ahead to go and make ready the city for him. He now says in verse 53, Luke 9:53, and they did not receive him. Who did not receive him? Samaritans, right? Yeah, they did not receive him, and because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Verse 54 now says, when his disciples James and John saw that they did not receive him, what did they say? Lord, wouldst thou that we command fire from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Yeah. Verse 55 now says something very profound and instructive. He says, but he turned and he rebuked them, and he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. Yeah. And they went into another village. Yeah. So what happened? They had access to only scriptures. Is that true? Where did they see Elijah call down fire from? It was written. Is it in the scriptures? Is it in the book of First King? Is it written there? Did Elijah call down fire? Did fire respond? Did he say it was from God? Was it from God? Why was it not from God? Because Jesus, we've seen, is the express image of who God is. The best of God mankind has seen is who? Christ. So Christ came to reveal to us who that Father was, who that God, the true nature of God. Yeah. So if God, now imagine, if Christ is God, and we are saying God answered in Old Testament by fire, but God now as a man is now rebuking them for wanting to call fire, it will mean that God is a confucianist. Why is God rebuking God? Because what Jesus did there, he says that you know what manner of spirit I am of. Actually, what he's saying is I am of, not even about you, because they were not believers at the time. Is that true? So you know what manner of spirit I am of, but the King James will say, ye are of, ye are beautiful. That's why the next verse, he focused on himself. Son of Man has not come. If he's talking about them, he would have said, you have not come. But he's saying, Son of Man has not come to destroy men's life, but to save. So does God destroy? No, he doesn't destroy. There's no destructive ability in God in reference to man. Yeah? There is no destructive ability in God in reference to man. You know, it's unfortunate that we live in a generation right now where a lot of Christians are killing their enemies that will never die by the name of Jesus. You can't kill in the name of Jesus, yeah? The name of Jesus means what? The one that comes to save. Salvation has come. Jesus means Yehoshua. It means God can save. God is the Savior. Salvation is come. So, you can't say, I command you to die in the name of the one that saves. It doesn't make any sense. I command you to die in the name of the Lord that saves. I can only say, I command you to die in the name of the Lord that kills. But there's no description of God that kills. So I cannot command you to die in the name of the Lord that saves. Because God's powerful power is in salvation. God's wonderful power is in salvation. So can we say that the men of old misinterpreted God? Yeah, they are the ones that spoke in diverse manners. Think about it, you know, mankind did not know who God was until Jesus came. So nobody saw God in the Old Testament. Yeah, but they said things like as if they saw God. But the descriptions of several prophets about God were different. So it's like I'm saying, go out there and go and wait for a man that is wearing a white kaftan and a white shoe. If I don't show you his picture of what he looks like, you can go out there and meet somebody wearing white and white shoe without white this and just assume that's the person I'm talking about. Is that true? But if I show you that this is his picture, when you go there, you look for that picture, the man in the picture. So because they didn't know who God was until Christ came, they were just expressing in that. So that's why you see a lot of times in scriptures, the prophets will speak on their own. Yeah. Angels will speak, they will say it's God. Man will speak, they will say it's God. God will speak, they will say it's still God. Why do you think they were attributing everything to God? Because when you think of the supernatural, because they didn't know who that supernatural being was, they had to attribute everything supernatural to that being. Hallelujah. Yeah, because they didn't know who God was. Mankind did not know who God was until Christ came. So everything that was out of the physical or natural, they said that was God. That's why we say something in the gospel, as the Old Testament are written just the way they are, and New Testament are explanations of what? The Old Testament. So when you have confusion in the Old Testament, where do you go to? Go to New Testament books and read it, because everything the New Testament books are about is really explaining the Old Testament. So when you say the wrath of God destroyed, the wrath of God destroyed. Yeah, you see the prophet, you say God said I will smite. But if you cut, like, first Exodus chapter 12, he was talking about how I will smite. If you read in context, five verses after, the same Moses wrote that they will be destroyed by the destroyer. When you read the New Testament books, he says the destroyer was the one that destroyed. So when you're thinking of Passover, yeah, angel of death cannot be from God. So what was God's responsibility in Passover? It was to save. So angel of the, so it says, John 10:10 says what? The thief cometh but to kill, to steal, and to what? Destroy. But I have come to give life, I may have it what? Abundantly. That means anywhere you saw that they've been killed or stolen or destroyed, it was a thief. So if you say it was God that destroyed, you've attributed stealing to God's nature. Are we together? Look at, see what I said. John 10:10, I've come, the thief come to kill, to steal, to destroy. That means the characteristics of a thief is to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. So if you are saying a man steals, what is his name? Thief. If you are saying a man destroys, what's his name? Thief. Is that true? The same thief, right? So if I say a man kills, what's his name? Thief. If I say he steals, what's his name? Thief. So if I'm saying God killed, I'm saying his name is what? Thief. And if God is a thief, I'm permitted to be a thief. Glory to God in Christ. So if God destroys, we're permitted to destroy. So why do you think there's a law that says thou shalt not kill, but the God that now made you be like him now killed, but say he should not kill? That's a tyrant God. So what you call the wrath of God, we looked at it. So we looked at Luke 9. So how do we understand Elijah's calling down fire? The New Testament books, yeah, the four gospels, we saw that. So Jesus is pointing attention to something. That thing you said, God, of Elijah send down fire, is a scam. You know, very interesting how we kill people in Nigeria, but people don't end up dying. Yeah, so we looked at Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to go back to that again. You know, we explained that what killed Ananias and Sapphira is what? Sapphira is what? Yeah, beautiful. The condemnative words of who? Peter. There was no mention of God in killing in Acts chapter 5 verse 1-2. We've seen Matthew 5:44. He says that be ye perfect like God. Yeah, be ye perfect like God, like your Father who is perfect. Yeah, you know, what you call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. Now, he says, you forgive us this day, so we forgive others. Not forgive us this day our trespasses, as we forgive others. When you say as we forgive others, it simply means that you are now the leader of God. It is when you forgive, God now sees forgiving pattern from you and learn, and now forgives you. No. It is you forgive us this day, our daily bread. You give us this day our daily bread. What is daily bread? Forgiveness of sins, yeah? You forgive us this day, and we are to forgive. So we forgive others. Hallelujah. So because in the previous chapter, it says, be as perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Yeah? So we saw some of those things. We saw how John 3:35 talks about we are delivered from the wrath of God. John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God in such a manner loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How did God show his love to mankind? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in that work. Now, let me ask a question. Where did God give his son? When you say, for God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son, that gave him. I know that's wrong. That gave him. Where did he give him? Was he in his incarnation? Yeah? Was he in his incarnation or resurrection? Yeah? It can't be incarnation. Yeah? Because there was nothing that Christ being a child did for mankind. The totality of what God did in Christ for mankind was in his death, burial, and resurrection. So that death, burial, and resurrection is the ability of God to give himself. 1 John 3:16 explains that properly. 1 John 4 explains that properly. You know, we'll read all of that as time will come. Yeah, so we said something in passing that we've established already. We said the wrath of God is man-made. So the wrath of God is man's disobedience to the gospel. Man's disobedience to the gospel. So if, for instance, I'm God and I say go towards the right, you are to believe me and go towards the right. But because God has given you a free will and a free ability, you can decide to disobey me and go towards the left. Now, you can go towards the left, and I'm about to wait for you there. Somebody is with pepper spray, you know, and everything, and people beat you up there, and they cut your thumb, and stuff like that. What did God say you should do? Go towards the right. What did you do? You disobeyed and went towards the left. Does it mean I was the one that, as God, that put the people that beat you there? No. It simply means that I knew what was going to happen there, and I told you this is where you should go, but in your disobedience, you got a recompensation for what you did. So, you see that thing called free will? Now, I was talking with a couple of atheists. I've met a couple of atheists, but conversed a lot of atheists, and thanks be to God, love them, got saved, you know. But I realized something. They usually ask a question: how can God, all-knowing, knew that Adam was sin and still allowed? Do you know the kind of question they used to ask? How can God, that is all-knowing, allow Adam to sin? And I just give them a simple reply. If God doesn't give man the free will and ability to make his decision, you would not ask this question you're asking now. Very simple. Story ends. The reason why you're asking about God's nature is because he gave you a free will. If he was a robot or a tyrant, go is go. But that you can ask and you don't just fall down simply means that you have a willpower. Yeah, so what did Adam do? Adam disobeyed what? A knowledge. He rejected a knowledge, which is what? That's why Romans will tell you by the disobedience of one man. Romans will not tell you by the eating of a fruit of one man, because Adam will not eat a fruit that defiled him. You know that already. So by the disobedience of one man, now remember, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What is willing and obedience? Believe the gospel. Yeah, so when you see disobedience, what does that mean? Reject, which is what? Unbelief. So when Paul is saying in Romans, by the disobedience of one man many became sinners, he's actually saying that by the unbelief of one man. Are we together? Yeah, are we together? So because Adam had a free will to make a decision, that was why he could do what he did. But if God was a tyrant, he would have imposed it on Adam and say, now me be God, this is you, do it, full stop. But remember, there's some, you know, for instance, you are here today because you have a free will. If God did not give man free will, every Christian should be going to church every midweek service. What is 5:45? Everybody just be going towards one direction. So your being here is because you made a decision. In that decision is God's loving kindness expressed to mankind. So it is out of love God gave man a free will to choose. That's why you're here today. That's why you're wearing the clothes you're wearing today. That's why I went to Kyoto yesterday. You know, apart from some, I know you say something about, it's why you're in Nigeria, but some people, the free will of their is not to be in Nigeria. Glory to God. I saw something on Twitter, I think, recently. You know how you put your location? Abuja, Nigeria. Somebody said Canada by faith. I'll be Canada by fire. So we saw how Paul used that word wrath of God in Romans chapter 1. You know, if you read Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Romans 2, 5 to 8, Romans 3, 5, Romans 4, 15, you will think that Paul is saying wrath of God is about God having a wrath. But because the Bible, remember, these books were written as a book. Yeah, the book of Romans was written without chapters and verses. So it's expected that you read from verse 1 of chapter 1 to chapter 16 to understand the picture of what Paul was saying about wrath. So he explained wrath of God in what? Romans 5, yeah, Romans 5, verse 8. But God commended his love towards us that while we're yet sinners, he Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So by the work, redemptive work of Christ, we have been saved from the wrath. We've been saved from the wrath. What is the wrath? The wrath is the recompensation for a man's decision. So that man now that God says should go towards the right and he went towards the left, what we call the wrath of God is those people that pour pepper spray or cut his hand at the left. What did God have to do with that? Did God have anything to do with that? What did he have to do? He had the ability to show you, this is the path to go. This is life. Go towards this way. You disobeyed because of the willpower he gave you out of love, and you went towards this way. He did not do any, he wasn't the one that put the criminals there. But you got a recompensation for what you did, which is what? Your decision. We saw that in Romans 5, 9. We saw about the wrath of God, Romans 9, 22. You know, we also established something very important, that God did not create death. God did not create death. Yeah? God could not have created death. Yeah? Because the wages of sin is death. So it is because sin came into existence that death now became a thing. Are we together? Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57, it says, death is an enemy of God. Death is an enemy. God did not create death. Yeah? Sin is what led to death. So death is man-made. Beautiful. You know, we saw all of that. We saw Hebrews 2:41. It says that he that had the power of death, he partook in the flesh, you know, and destroyed he that had the power of death. Yeah, remember I said something that day. I said something about how God killed death by dying. Remember that teaching? Yeah? God, how did God kill death? He dealt with death by dying. Gave death, so death died by the death of Christ. We saw Ephesians 2, 3, Ephesians 5, 6. We saw profoundly 2 Peter 3, verse 15. The long suffering of, and it says, Peter is saying, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. Salvation. And he now emphasizes that as our beloved brother Paul has written in all his epistles. So today, we're going to do something we did before. Yeah, I'm going to explain. You know that scripture that says, I've sent you as sheep in the midst of wolves, be wise as serpents. And be harmless as dove. You know that scripture? Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 16. A very interesting scripture that people used to be very corny. Look at Matthew 10, verse 16. Jesus is talking here. What did he say? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So, it looks like Jesus is saying that you are a sheep. So, I'm sending you in the midst of wolves. But now that I'm sending you, be what? Wise as serpents. But be harmless like as dove. In the initial sense, in a layman reading, it makes sense. But when you contextually read the Bible as a whole book, you'd understand that it doesn't make sense. Why did I say so? Let's see. If you see Genesis, go to Genesis. We're going to open lots of scripture. Genesis 3 verse 1. Genesis 3 verse 1. Genesis 3 verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. So that means there's a subtlety of the serpent. That means what you can call wisdom of serpent is actually the subtle nature. Is that true? Do you know the reason why you are scared of snakes? You know, a lot of us are scared of snakes. You know why? Because it has been a long-found theology that has been consistent with our Christian growth from Genesis 1, Genesis 2, 3, Genesis 1, 2, 3. Yeah. We enter and we see snake, we think of devil. And that makes you now look down or judge people that keep snake as pets. You see how I said, ah? You know why I said, ah? That's why she's in church, trying to renew her mind. Yeah, but if you can be permitted to keep a dog as a pet, a dove as a pet, a man should be permitted to keep any animal he wants as a pet. But you know why we hate serpents? Because we always think it's Satan. You know, but scripture tells us that it's Satan. Yeah, we'll see that now. Now, so because Moses wrote with figurative expressions, and he used serpents to explain the devil. Remember I said something on Sunday? The writer of Revelation expects that before you get to the book of Revelations through Revelations, you must have read Genesis to Jude. Because there was not a single symbol used in Revelation that was new in Revelation. Every symbol used in Revelation, they were used from Genesis to Jude. You know, some revelations is the lion and the lamb. Oh, no. Our God can never be a lion. Yeah, but did the Bible say he's a lion? Yes. So how do we know he's not a lion? We read in context. John the Baptist did not say, behold the lion and the lamb that will take away the sins. What did he say? Behold the lamb. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we'll see consistently that lamb, that sheep is associated with what? He says that the sheep led before the mouth of the shearer. So shall what the Son of Man be led and be killed by men. God raised on the third day. So we see that sheep and lamb, they are similar. Is that true? Is dove similar to sheep and lamb? Why? Because the dove is calm. Is that not true? Is wolf similar to serpent? You know wolves now? Yeah? Is a wolf similar to serpent? They are both dangerous animals. Is that true? Is that true? So now we're going to see something. We see first of all, Genesis 3 verse 1. The serpent was, now which animal was sought to? Remember I said something? Before you read Revelation, you must have read Genesis to Jude. Go to Revelations 12 verse 9. Revelations 12 verse 9. Remember I said something? There was no new symbol in Revelations. Revelations chapter 12 verse 9. Beautiful. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, when you see that old serpent, what should come to your mind? Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent was not sought to. So, when he says that old serpent, you should think of what? That Genesis serpent. What did he call him again? First of all, the great what? Dragon. So, he calls the great dragon, the old serpent. What did he now call him? Revelation now exposes the name of that serpent. What did he say? Call the devil. You know what happened? He did not end at devil. What did he now go further to say? Satan. So when you think of that old serpent, what are you thinking about? The devil, the dragon, Satan. Go to Revelation 20, the same Revelation. Go to chapter 20 verse 2. Remember, the writer of Revelation expects you have read Genesis to Jude. So look at Revelation chapter 20 verse 2. What did he say? What is the old serpent? Satan. Yeah? So, we see scripture, Genesis. We've looked at the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible, and it shows us that the serpent is Satan. So, why would Jesus now tell you to be as wise as the serpent? Okay? We'll go further. Look at Matthew 7. Go to Matthew 7, 8. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8. I remember I've done a teaching on this. Ask shall be given unto you, seek you shall find. Knock and there shall be opened unto you. The most important thing is ask, because the first letter of every word is A, S, and K. Ask. You know, when James 4 was talking about you do not receive because you ask amiss. You know that scripture? You know, an average believer, you know, you do not receive because was James teaching about prayer? We'll look at that very soon. Look at that very soon. Look at Matthew 7 verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, and you give him a serpent? Yeah, that means he's trying to show to you that if your son asks for something good, you cannot give him something bad, which is like, for instance, a stone. He now goes further and says, your son cannot ask for something good, which is a fish, and you now give your son what? Serpent. Yeah, figurative. Yeah, and remember, Luke now explains, he says that how much more when you ask the Holy Spirit, he will give you good things. The good things you ask the Holy Spirit to give, that the good things that was speaking, that Jesus was teaching about was what? The Holy Spirit, yeah? So that good thing is not saying that every good thing you ask for, God will give you. You are too old a believer to know that it's not everything you ask God, he will give you. In fact, you are even more matured enough to know that it's not everything you ask him and pray for 50 days that he will give you. If not, every believer should have an estate each. Or one estate. You cannot ask God for everything and he gives you everything. The only reason why a lot of people have, you know, that thing you call faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yeah, they're saying faith, and you think faith is about, so you think faith is about playing message. Yeah, you think about, you say faith comes by hearing. You know that scripture now, Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and you think the word of God is about playing message. No, he was teaching about something. How can they be saved if the word of God is not preached? How can they be preached to if there is no preacher? And so he's talking about salvation. So, okay, I'm coming back to Matthew 7. The good thing is the Holy Spirit. He's now using an example of what? Saying, how can your son ask for fish and you give him what's happened? Look at Matthew 23. Can you see? We've seen three scriptures that show us that serpent is negative. Is that true? Is that true? Serpent, the old serpent is what? The devil. Satan. Look at Matthew 23. Matthew 23 verse 33. I want us to read this one together. Matthew 23 verse 33. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. So that means he called them serpents. What was the next word he gave them? Generation of what? Viper. Is serpent positive? Okay, how do we know? Let's look at it. Let's read again together. 1, 2, 3, go. That means it's people that are like serpents that cannot escape the damnation of hell. Is that true? So it's people that are like serpents, that is, they are like vipers. Yeah, remember I was teaching to a group of people. How can you escape? Now remember, the believer has escaped hell. A man that believes once, he has escaped hell forever. Is that true? Yeah, he's saved forever, right? That's true, right? So he cannot be speaking to a believer. Is that true? So that means you see serpent as negative. Look at Mark 16. Look at Mark 16 verse 17. Mark is the next book after Matthew. Mark 16 verse 17. Let's read Mark 16, 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. That means serpent hurt. Is that true? That means serpent hurt. But he's saying that if you believe, you shall take up serpent. He's not saying you should go. He's not saying go and hold serpent at the neck. Oh, remember? Yeah, he's not talking. So he's using serpent as if you will see consistency of serpent for figurative expression towards the negative direction. Look at Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. Luke chapter 10:19. Luke chapter 10:19. Can we read Luke 10:19 together? 1, 2, 3, go. To tread upon what? So, is Jesus a confused teacher? How can he tell you to tread upon serpent and scorpion? And he's telling you what you should tread upon is what you should be as wise as. He says we have authority over the serpent. And he's telling you to be as wise as the serpent. That's confusion, literally. Yeah? So, can we go back to Matthew 10 verse 16? Yeah? Let's read Matthew 10 verse 15. Let's read properly now. So you expected that you must have read before you get to Matthew chapter 10. You've read Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, verse 16. You can write that down. Verse 43 to 48. Before you come and read Matthew 10. Remember, the Bible was written in chapters and verses. Yeah? Bible was written as a book. So when I mean as a book, it means that the book of Matthew was written as a book. The book of Matthew was written as a book. It means that the book of Mark was written as a book. There was no Mark chapter 1 when they were writing chapter Mark. Yeah, and the writer of Mark was not saying Mark. He now writes chapter 1, full stop. Yeah, Bible was written as a book. So, you see the book of Romans, it did not say Romans chapter 1, Paul, the servant of the Lord, called out to be a faithful apostle. It was written as a letter. So, you have to read as a, so, before you read Matthew 10, it's expected you would have seen how we called serpent in Matthew 5, Matthew 6. Yeah, you would have read it consistently to see that serpent, and also read ahead to see that what serpents were used negatively. So, how do we explain Matthew 10, 16? Now that you read in context, you'll see it. Look at the real warning he is warning you in verse 17. Let's read verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Yeah, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what thou shalt speak. Now, is he talking about how people will capture you? Yeah, that word about delivering, is it not to arrest? Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? So he's teaching about what? A group of men that can arrest you and bring you to the front of the governor or the king. Now, look at this look at this somewhere. If you are standing for Christ, everybody look at me. If he's standing for Christ and he knows that I want to arrest you, you know I want to arrest you. You know I want to, let me say it this way. You know that the government wants to arrest you. Yeah? When you see someone that is similar to a police uniform, what do you do? I like that word. They say take off. Take off. Yeah. But guess what? For me to come as close to you, for me to catch you, it means that I must have appeared as not what you were thinking. If I'm to arrest him and he allows me come, the reason why I can come close to him is like he didn't see it coming. So I caught him unawares. My activity in catching him unawares is a corny activity. Why? Because you are either straightforward or corny. Is that true? So if I'm straightforward, I should come and you start seeing my siren all over the street and I'm coming to arrest you. But if I'm corny, I don't come in a police vehicle. I just come with a mufti and my handcuffs is behind me and my gun in my pocket. You don't know. In my corny nature is when I arrest you. What did Jesus say his disciples should do? He said, take no thought what you shall say or speak. Look at verse 18. Look at your Bible. 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 You shall be brought before the governors and the kings for my sake, and the testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how and what you shall what? Speak. So that means, does that statement put assurance in him? Look at it. Does that make sense? He is the one that is to be arrested. Jesus has told him, don't think of what you say and you... That means Jesus has accepted that what? You will be arrested. What did Jesus tell him? Take no thought what you shall speak, for it shall be a testimony against what? The Gentiles. Yeah? So, me, I am the one... So, Jesus could not have been telling you to be corny, because the moment you are corny, I will not arrest you. If he is the one that I am to arrest and he is corny, he can easily swipe away from my hand. But Jesus could not be giving you an instruction to run and now tell you that if you are caught. You know, if Jesus had said, peradventure they catch you. But he didn't say that. He said that what? You will be taken, yeah, for my sake, in front of the kings and governors. Don't think of what you will speak or say. You will know what to say when you get there. That means Jesus has already assured you that you'll be arrested for his sake. So Jesus could not have been telling you to be as corny as serpents, which is what you call wise as serpents. So, we can explain Matthew. So, let's go back to verse 16. See verse 16. Behold, I sent you forth as sheep in the midst of... So, remember something. Therefore, be therefore wise as serpent and harmless as dove. How many animals do you have there? Check again. Check again. Four. Oga said two. Oga said three. Yeah? So, how many animals are there? Yeah? So, what is the first animal? Sheep. What is the second animal? What is the third animal? What is the fourth animal? Dove. Which two animals are similar? So, can we say sheep and dove one side? Is that true? So, if you are writing, you can draw a line in your book and just put sheep and dove one side. You can make it at the right hand side because the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. Yeah, so you can draw that line and just write sheep and wolves and doves one side and collect like 10. So I have people that just graduated. Still fresh, you know. Some of us cannot even do integral calculus again. You know, we are complete in Christ. Glory to God. Yeah, so the second two animals, what are they? Are they similar? The disposition of a wolf in the bush, is it similar to that of a serpent? Yes, looking for who to devour. Is that true or true? The writer of Revelation expects you've read Genesis to Jude. When you see lion, you know, lion, that's roaring lion, that's the devil. So, in the Revelation, he saw lion, the elder said lion. But because of his, and remember, your Revelation is, let's not go into Revelations. So now, sheep and doves one side, wolves and serpents one side. Does that make any sense? So, can we rewrite verse 15? Let me now read verse 16 to you. Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves who are as wise as serpents. Check your Bible. Yeah? Matthew 10 verse 16. Behold, I sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves who are as wise and cunning as serpents. What are you to do? Be as harmless as a dove. Are we together? Does that make any sense? Check it. Read it. Check it. Let it make sense to you. Behold, I send you as a sheep in the midst of wolves. These wolves are as wise as serpents. What you should do because you are a sheep is be harmless like the dove. Does that make any sense? I'll say that again. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves who are as cunning as serpents, which is what wise as serpent. So you can say it this way. I send you forth as sheep, be as harmless as dove, because you are going to be in the midst of people that are as what? Dangerous as wolves and what? Cunning as serpents. So Jesus could not be telling you, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions, and I tell you to be as wise as that thing I've given you authority. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So Bible reading entails that you rigorously labor. Yeah. It's expected that you would have seen that the nature that Jesus wants you to have is like that of the Father. He says, be as perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Who allows the rain to fall on the unjust and the just, and allows the sun to shine on what? The evil and the good.
So God does not do good because you are good. He does good to everyone. Now that I think about it, Christians are not the richest people on earth, right? Yeah, because God, in God's goodness, he has given mankind the power to, I have the power to make melt, make wealth. Eh? You know, have you heard people say something like salvation is the word zozo? It means fully encompassing. Full wealth, full health, redemption. No. Salvation is, it means to be saved from a wrath. You can, by the ability of salvation, pray for your health to be healed. But the power to make wealth is in giving. Everybody has power to make wealth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody else, you know, it's a very difficult truth that people don't want to accept. But if they can be sincere with their lives and number of years they spent in Christianity, it will be obvious to them. It will be obvious. So that riches, where will you now get it? That should show you that the riches is not, the riches that you will get in Christ is not on earth. Because why should I wait till age 50 till I enjoy? It should be that moment I'm born again. If there's riches in Christ, material things. The moment I'm born again, I should just have house. Maybe has just come. How many of you want to be dedicated? How many of you want to give your life to Christ? Pastor now leads you. You now come to the front. You now make confession. Lord Jesus, you are a sinner. You know it's not me that is a sinner. do you see something? They say, come into my heart. But what they call it is give your life to Christ. Do you understand what I just said? How many of you want to give your life to Christ? But when you now come out, what they're asking you to say is come into my heart. You didn't give anything. You have nothing to give Christ, right? Yeah? So being born again is what you receive a life he has offered. When you say you are giving your life to Christ in service, you are committed to service, you are coming to church, you are doing your assignment, yeah? That is giving yourself to service. Why are you smiling? You are giving yourself to service. You are giving yourself discipleship. So I've given myself to the Lord. But you give yourself to the Lord from receiving from what he has given you. It is from that understanding of life that you give yourself. So, if after you come, you now receive life of God, maybe I should have turned. Pastor, just say, my brother ABC, and come. This is the key to your estate. Sister Taiwo, this is the key to your car. Every Sunday, I'll be burning again. And now. Yeah? So, we see that a proper read of scriptures will show us God's nature as being good to the unthankful and the thankful. You know that nonsense, when the praises go up, the blessings come. Since when has the blessing come down? Oh, glory to God. That window of heaven has been opened once and for all, and God has given himself to us as Christ. Yeah? Malachi 3. I just explained Malachi 3. And if you give your tithe, he will open the floodgate window of which? A window. Window is a place. When you pay your tithe, God will put you on the window. You'll be gazing into the future of the blessing. Yeah, so what is, I will open the flood, I will open the windows of heavens, and I will pour out a blessing that is too much for your house to take. What is that? Christ. That's Christ. That's Christ. Hallelujah. We have touched a lot of things today, yeah? But I'm trying to show you God's nature as consistent. As consistent. God that gave you himself without you. The Bible says that while you were yet sinner, he gave himself. Christ died for you. So it's now when you now want to build a house that somebody else can buy without believing that there's God anywhere. Hallelujah. You know, if Christians can be sincere with themselves, if we can be sincere with ourselves, we realize that the way to make money on earth and to be wealthy is by working. Labor. Labor. Hallelujah. That's why you see a lot of lazy Christians waiting for when the pastor will stand up and say, this is your week, amen. This is your year of supernatural breaking forth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Since they've been telling us, where did we break forth from? Where are we even breaking to? Remember that teaching when I was teaching God's Rich Man? Who are the people that break through? You are not serious. Hallelujah. Yeah. So what I'm just showing you is what God's consistent nature. There is no evil in God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So what do you call the wrath of God? Is this something that God does for disobeying me? For disobeying me, thunder will strike you. You see, that's why you know a New Testament prophet. They don't kill. Yeah, a man that is giving a prophecy and say that the man that is oppressing you within the next 7 days, I give him a quick notice to die. You know, some of them are innocent and ignorant.
Is that true? Yeah. Some of them are innocent and ignorant. Yeah. But that's not what scripture teaches. We don't kill. We preach God's unending love in form of the gospel to the dying heart for him to be converted and be delivered from wrath. That's why Matthew 5 is teaching something very profound. He says, if you are doing good to only those that do good to you, what difference are you from the word Pharisees? An average person knows that when you do good to somebody, you require a good, or rather, a good should be done back to you. But for you to be as perfect as our heaven, for you to be as perfect as our heavenly Father, what do? You do good to every man that does evil to you. You're doing good to people on earth can cost you your life on earth, but always rejoice that you have eternal life. You can be too good, and you know, human beings are. You know, look at yourself. Just think of yourselves. You know how terrible it was for you. Eh? You know how it took you time to change. Yeah, you know there's people that still do bad things to you. Feel like using cutlass. I've not seen people that say, "Oh, I'll drop my salvation once and for all now and deal with you at this bus stop." I've not seen pastors say walker while they are driving. Yeah. So if they are saying walker as pastors while driving, you are not even sure that the person that drove rough to you is your member. I'm not even sure. You know, I see some people. Yeah, and you know. See, that's why when you teach the truth of God's word, you grow in certain things and you outgrow certain things. Yoga. That's the truth of God's word. See, God's word is the only thing that can change a man. Not New Year as a revolution, I mean restitution, what do you call it? This year I will not. No. Only God is able to, I will. Yeah? Say, so I will put my laws in your heart. I will become your God. I will. Only God has the ability to, I will. And he would. He will. Hallelujah. Yeah? So, that's why you see, he is good. So, that means coming to church every Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, if you like come to church every day, it doesn't mean that you will be financially buoyant. You can come to church 20 years of your life, and throughout that 20 years, you are begging for transportation every day to come to church. Hallelujah. Yeah? The economy of the world is handled by who? Men. Men. Men in power. Yeah? Men think. That's why you see them. You see, we have abused the essence of prayer. That's why we think prayer, we have limited prayer to be asking God for things. That's why somebody say a question, why are you people still praying? Why are you praying? When the people that are having the money don't pray. So you see somebody say that you come to church to pray, while others are going to the market square to go and make business decisions. Why is it so? Miracles happen, yeah? But remember, miracles is dependent on the man with the money. look at it now. What is prayer? Prayer is persuasion. You know, do you know why we spend time praying in church? You know why we spend hours praying? Because the heart of men is difficult to change. See your heart. See your own heart. Thank God you are born again. No? It's not but however, see your heart. Yeah? Because I will spend time in place of prayer. What I mean is that I cannot pray for you to change your will, and you will not change, and your will just change without your willingness. You get that? What prayer does is what? You can only persuade a heart to change. Last, the willpower is with him. So if you like, pray. And God say, go and give your servant 1 million. If you know, agree. It cannot leave your account. No, it is your money. It is your will. It is you that will press *737# and send it. You see? So, your prayer cannot change his will. Your prayer can only persuade your heart to tilt towards what? Leaning on the riches of liberality bestowed upon you, which is the ability to give. Because God is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave. So, it is in that nature that you have the ability to give. Hallelujah. Yeah, so there is a nature of God that we have. That nature is a good nature. So you see, a lot of people always say, "You are a good father." It's who you are. It's who you are. Yeah, yeah. But
why are you laughing like that?
When you finish singing, you are a good father. The next person that is coming to lead prayer point is what? Allow your good father to kill someone that is disturbing you. Can you see? We are selfish even in our prayer and our praise. So you are a good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. The next song, you're not talking about his goodness. God is good.
all the time, put his songs of praise without ever. Have you? Then the next prayer you're praying, oh Lord, all of you will shout out your voice and say, I cannot hear you. all your veins are out, everywhere is scattered. You say, I cannot hear you. Oh, go. Allow your prayer to pass. You know, in our next prayer seminar, we'll do a teaching. You know, allow your prayer to pass the roof. You know, it's a mockery. For you to be praying and your father, you actually think that your voice has to be louder so it can pass the roof to go to heaven. Oh, you forgot that when you were starting that service. Oh, he lives in me. He lives in me. Forever. But after you finish, he lives in me forever. You are still telling me to pray. So that the prayer can ascend. And the blessing. You see? You see, do we shout when we pray? Yes. Do you know the major reason for shouting when you pray? To avoid distraction. You know when you are shouting and praying rigorously, you can't think of so many things. You concentrate. That's why we teach prayer and shouting. Not the reason God you are letting ascend. You are insulting God. You are even trying to say God's eardrum is short. And then you say God's eardrum is maybe the ear is inside. So you have to shout to transcend and do you understand? You know sometimes we don't know the implication of what we say. You finish singing about God's goodness. The next thing you're talking about is, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. But you are saying, let his enemies be scattered. You are praying for your enemy. Who told you your enemy is his enemy? So, Kasi, we know how to wash God. You know that you call wash? When you are, sir, when you are, sir, you are praising, you are, you know, it starts from that thing, yeah, because it starts from that wrong notion about something about praises. So you are so limited to Yoruba culture that you think that is when you praise God, God's head will swell. Someone say anything prayer cannot do, praise we do. people can do 10 hours praise service but cannot pray for 10 hours. They will dance. But as they go and pray, the best of them you see, dun, dun, dun. Oh, glory. I decree it's done. So it is. When it's time to praise, put on, you first of all wear shoes to church, they will still ask you to put on your dancing shoe. After I put on a dancing shoe, you still have to remove it because it's not convenient. you know why? You are trying to impress God. You know, we saw something during prayer series. If you dance, and nothing comes out from your mouth, you've not praised God. You've only burned calories. Praises from scripture is about what you say about God. Hallelujah. You've only the best you did. I've not seen people. I like going to that church because I'm always dancing. At least if you want to allow people to dance, let them dance after the word, after teaching for 2 hours. Don't dance before the word. Everybody will be tired. You burn calories now. You know, dancing nowadays in church is to impress ourselves. We cut it on you in the air. Competition. I feel they'll bring out their video. Make a video. Ope lounje. Injeba. I mean, injeba. You know that Yoruba song? It's praise that God eat you. Praise is what God is eating. I mean, as you are singing, all his whole body is expanding. As if he's in the gym. You see, that's why I always say something. A lot of times when you cry, yeah? Because a lot of songs are emotional. See, there are some songs I lead right now. If you sing it 3 times or 4 times or 7 times, some of you will start crying. Why? Because you have bills to pay. Wait, imagine saying God will make our way. We have a good keyboardist with strings. You know, before you came to this presence of the Lord in court today, you know how long you trekked.
Oh, trek.
Oh, us. Hallelujah. Yeah? So, if I just sing some songs to touch you, yeah? So, what am I teaching basically? God's nature is constant. He is good. You cannot blame God for being evil. You cannot see, the only thing that is found in God is goodness. Yeah. So the teaching Jesus was given was what? Be as what? Harmless as dove. You are not permitted to slap anybody back that slaps you. Are we together? You are not permitted from scriptures. You have to be as harmless as dove. Why? Because you have the nature of a sheep. He's a good shepherd. Why do you call him? He's a shepherd. Why do you call him a shepherd? Because he's a man that he was, has so many sheep. Yeah, who is a sheep? You are a sheep, I am a sheep. Hallelujah. Yeah, the reason, you see, there's a reason why you are attributed to a sheep. A sheep is not a goat. That's why we are to act as sheep, not goats. So it is only, I always say something. A man cannot live above his understanding of his God. If you think God does good and evil, you will live that kind of life to your fellow friends. Yeah, I'm good. That means there's probability that God will change next tomorrow. If God is good and evil, it means I cannot trust His goodness. Have you heard people say something like, "God killed in the time past because He is good"? You know that. You know. Have you heard that teaching now? When God kills, it is called judgment. Ha. It sounds subtle, but embedded in that sentence is a lot of error. Because what makes you think that so God will kill his son? You are a son today. Oh. What makes you think he will not kill you next tomorrow? I mean, now God can kill you to show you he is good. Hallelujah. Yeah, so write this down. You know, the wrath of God is an opposite to God's saving power. Wrath of God is the opposite to God's saving power. Opposite of God's saving power. God's saving power. The wrath of God is the opposite of God's saving power. It is man made, and it is a punishment for sins. You can call sin disobedience. Mm-hmm. The wrath of God is God's saving power, is the opposite of God's, rather, the wrath of God is the opposite, forgive me. The wrath of God is the opposite of God's saving power, is the punishment for sin. It is man-made. Wrath of God is man-made. Wrath of God is man-made. See Colossians 3 verse 8. Colossians 3 verse 8 quickly. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians is just after Philippians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Look at what Paul is writing here. Are we in Colossians 3, 8? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. What now? What is he saying? Put off all these. That means put off what I'm going to mention now. Yeah? What are the things he now mentioned? So are you to put off anger? What do you now mention? What is wrath? What you're talking about, yeah? What's the next one? Malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So, you have to put wrath away. Paul cannot be teaching put wrath away, and it is found in Christ. Moment wrath is found in Christ, it is part of your... Ephesians 1, 3 to 8, 14 should show you it's part of your blessings in Christ. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Two books before that. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Remember, we've done this teaching explicitly before. It says, be angry and sin not. Yeah, it looks like Paul is giving a commandment. Be angry, but don't sin. But you know, we've done a syntax correction to that, right? So it is, be ye not angry and sin. Why do we say that? Because verse 31 says something. Look at verse 31. 1, 2, 3, go. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Yeah? So he cannot say, be angry. Three verses after, he's now saying what? Put away anger, put away wrath, put away malice. Are we together? So is anger of God? No, anger is of the devil. Is that true? You know, anger has no limit. Now, you see why you cannot teach that God has anger issues or God has an anger in himself? Because anger can provoke you to do what you do not want to do. You see, anger doesn't have a limit.
That's why you see Abel killed and Cain killed Abel. It's anger. Anger. He conceived anger in his heart and it led to killing. So if you cannot explain God's nature to be without anger, you can easily say God kills. So why we are teaching the wrath of God is that there is no wrath found in God. That's why you cannot say God kills. You see the reverse? Anybody that people that always like playing with bottle. And then you break anybody, everybody, their body, man. The moment they use that bottle in somebody's life and they see the person is dropping dead, what happens? They calm down. So how can Paul now say, I permit you to be angry? When you know anger will lead to sin. Be angry, but don't sin. No, you can't be angry and not. Anger in itself is a sin. Glory to God. You know, we've always seen examples of, I'll backslide for 5 minutes and deal with you. You know, let me say this. You know, relationships with people, we learn about proper relationship of scriptures with people from Christ's relationship with the church. Yeah, so that's why you see when Paul is teaching about submission, wives to husband, he's teaching it in reference to Christ and the church. It simply means that we are to learn something from Christ's marriage to the church. Yeah, see that? Yeah, so now the question now becomes that, what do you actually call, you know, some people, sometimes when you relate to your boyfriend just does something terrible to you. I'm a king in Christ, I'm a queen. I don't take nonsense. Delete his number, but you do not tell us that you save his number out of your friend's phone. Delete his number. I don't want to do anything with him. That's why I always tell you something. It's an insult for you to say you are a proof that I know that God loves me. And you know how people always say that nonsense? Eh? When you see a girl, it's just love, initial love that is shocking you. Put that initial. How can I see you and because you are beautiful and say you are the reason I know why God loves me? What happens when you break my heart? Where do I start from? Yeah? So how do you know God's love? Look at Christ. That's all you need. Nobody should come into your life and you are saying, I've searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. The reason why my relationship with past people did not work is because God was preparing you for me. Both of you were not able to come under the love of God to make your relationship work. A man and a woman that comes and submit themselves to the love of God and love of God found in Christ, relationship with them can work. Because there's no how you not be a forgiving person. The reason you broke up is there was something about you did not like. Mama Paro, don't be lying. Don't be lying. There was something you did not like. You know the joke that's always on the internet? February 14th is coming now. February 14th. Some people, their number will lose. Number will just switch line. Right, you go. I'm traveling for a conference. You don't want to buy gifts. Why are you laughing louder, bro? Your laugh is exalted. Your laugh is exalted. Hallelujah. Yeah. So when you know that there is no anger found in Christ, there's no anger found in you. If I say I'm not a man of anger, God is not a God of anger. Hallelujah. That's how you see the instructions to you. Walk in the spirit so you not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Yeah? You can't walk in the spirit and be angry. What is walking in the spirit? Walking in love. Yeah? You can't walk in love and be angry. Am I saying people will not offend you? People will offend you. This life, people will offend you. Hallelujah. You know, I give an example during the leader's teaching on Friday. I said something. You know, when we're small, our parents, anytime you just misbehave, just beat you anyhow. When you grow up and you're not muscular, when your mommy raises her hand and just do like this, mommy, what does she do? She withdraws. Why did she withdraw? She learns self-control by force. Because she knows you're lifting up your hands. It's not only in the church. You can lift up and descend. So because they want to preserve their face, they learn self-control. That is tell you, for them to learn self-control at that time, that is their self-control has always been in them. It's true now. It's true. Think about it. You can, you know, in Abuja, everybody thinks, in Abuja, I don't know who is really strong and who knows people. You know, so that's why I can easily go to bus stop and go and say, ma, you open your eye. Go to where they are driving all the way. And just go and brush one yellow bus. I start speaking phone. And the guy comes down from his car. I've not. What are people scared of? What are people? You see, a man can jam somebody's car. You can hit my car today. And when I just come out from my car, I start boo, boo, boo. What is wrong with you? You know? Beautiful. Yeah? But if he's a soldier, remember, they are hitting me from behind. He hits me from behind, he hits me from behind. But he's not a soldier, he's a soldier. But imagine he just, I start shouting, oh, no, 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 why you make noise? But imagine this one is a soldier. He just opens his door and just steps down. What happens? You turn mute. You see? You see? Can I see? There's humility in you. There's that. See, that's why it's always wrong to say, that's how I am. When you're angry, somebody, that's how I am. My father and my brother, they know me. No! They've not caught you. They've not caught you. What? See, I can pluck your eyes now. You've not seen. Let Helox with soldiers touch you from behind. Just touch, not jam. Touch you. So can you understand? He goes from 100 to 0. You just park your car, you just do your handbrake. You know, in Nigeria, you are very funny. It's where that car has accident that the car will be.
That's evidence.
You block, people are going to, you block the whole country. Sometimes, some are even worse, because they want to make their point, they will tilt their car to block more road. So everybody will know that something is happening. Yeah? Think about it. When it is army, you know, the fear of army color in Nigeria is the beginning of wiseness, not wisdom. Wiseness. So if they just touch you behind, you don't even know. You know, just because of the anger, you just, what's happening? You will repaint my car today. You now step back, you now look at one mopo like this, or one soldier like this with maybe short knicker, but one camo. I says, yes, what's that? I was just trying to say, I want to paint your own car. He jammed you. I was just trying to say, how much will it cost? That's why you say, I'm walking in love. That's what my pastor teaches me. No. Walking in love is when you can oppress somebody and you put that ability away. Bible says in Philippians 2:5, it says, let this man be in you as it was in Christ. Who was he? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. But he did not lean on the help of God. He had the ability to stop anything he wanted to stop at any time. So love walk is really about when I know I can beat you. Yeah? And I hold myself. That's love walk. Yeah? Not. You know, I'll say something in that meeting. There's some people, life has humbled them. They have no other option than to be humble in their physical life. You know when life humbles you? When life humbles you. Hallelujah. So, you are to superimpose this reality. You are not an angry person. You are not an angry person because God is not an angry person. The moment, except you tell me that, the moment that soldier comes down and you continue paradigm, then I know that one has passed level. You understand what I'm trying to say? If soldier, he locks, hit you, five of them come down, you're still paradigm. You can make it your confession. I have anger issue. I have anger issue, except you are blind, you cannot see the uniform they are wearing. I'm full of God's power. There's no anger in me. There's no anger in me. No anger is found in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, we live in a generation where a lot of sinning people or people that are sinning differently are accusing other people for sinning differently. Do you understand what that means? Yeah? I'm battling with the sin of lying, but you're battling with the sin of stealing, for instance, and they caught you. Me that I'm battling with the sin of lying, I'm accusing you. He must be prosecuted. Yeah? You know? But if you understand God's loving nature to all mankind, see, in God's love, it is that no matter what happens, the only thing that can come out from God is goodness. No, the only thing that can come out from God is goodness. You know, we should not be deceived by, you know, a lot of people teach about God as elephant and we are ants. That's why it's always difficult for people to believe that God in his bigness can come and live in a believer. Are we together? Because they're like, how is that possible? But when you think about it, God in his almightiness is so mighty that he went to a woman's womb and stayed there without sperm. Hallelujah. The God that created creations. Yeah, he lived in a creation and he grew in that womb for 9 months. And he lived amongst the mist. You know the people that killed God were the people he created. Yeah? That's who taught it no robbery. We have the nature of God. There's no anger in you. Don't say that is your nature. No, it's not your nature. The moment you can calm down on certain situations, it means it's not your nature. It means you are pretending, you are hypocritically living a life that is not your life. Do you know what I'm trying to say? The moment you can calm down from a soldier, it really means that your real person is that calm person. But when you're flying up, that's hypocritical. You are pretending. I'm full of God. Lift your hand and say, I'm full of God. I'm full of God's power. Glory to God. Can we just pray in the Holy Ghost for a few seconds? We're done with service already.